This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty of soccer to discuss today. We will talk about some international stuff, injuries happening as teams play some meaningful, some meaningless games for FIFA dollars and cents. And that has caused real world problems for the sports teams that employ those individuals. So we'll talk about that. We have a couple of venues for a big tournament coming to the United States. Maybe Beam and I take the show on the road next summer. I would love to see it. Don't know if we will.
And, you and Vinny.
That sounds like a plan. What a great a three-man booth that would be. Let's just do it.
I'm in.
I love it. If we can get Vinny on the show, I'm going to say that'd be a good
interview. Do we have a Portuguese translator? Or does he speak Spanish too?
We got enough time to learn Portuguese, my friend. It's like 9 months from now.
That's true.
Vinicius Jr., who we're talking about, who is from Brazil, if you're not familiar, and they speak Portuguese in Brazil. He may speak Spanish. He plays in Spain.
All your free time, you can dedicate yourself to learning Portuguese.
I actually just this morning was like, I need to get the Duolingo open again and start working on my Spanish, because I have bouts of Spanish that I go through where I'm like, oh, yeah, I feel really good about these sentences. I could say three or four sentences, and then I'll go flip on a soccer game that's being broadcast in Spanish, and I'm like, absolutely not. I'm nowhere close to what I thought I was.
I watch more games on Telemundo than I do on like Peacock.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, because I'm like, I get the gist of the game. Like, I don't really need to hear the announcers talk. Like, and I just kind of pick up things. Like, I did a couple of years of Spanish in college. Did a couple of years in German, like through middle school and high school. I'm like, I got what you're saying, but I don't know any lick of Portuguese.
No, Portuguese is not anything. I mean, I assume it's in a similar vein.
It's not even close.
Not even close to Spain, huh?
No.
Okay. I didn't know if they were all romantic languages. Maybe they all kind of have
similar roots.
But like
Spanish and Italian are
they
very
have similar.
Similar
roots. Yeah, yeah.
It's not close to Portuguese.
Okay. Right. Well, French is like that, right? French doesn't have a ton in common, I think, with whatever.
I don't understand French.
No, I don't either.
Like,
I'm just,
when words come out, I'm like, that you're not saying anything.
When I see the letters, I'm like, okay, I can kind of see maybe a root there or something. And then you hear the person say it, and you're like,
It sounds like Charlie Brown
to me. Have you ever seen, and if people have not, I have to tweet this out from Bone and Beam United. Have you ever heard of the Italian singer in the 70s or 80s,
Andrea
Bocelli? No. Okay. That is an Italian singer.
Did you know that he's blind?
No.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Can't see.
Has it always been?
Yeah, I learned that last year and it blew my mind. Yeah.
I had no idea. I didn't know this was a thing.
Yep.
Oh, that's like their Ray Charles. I had no idea. Didn't know that. I'm just saying. I had no idea that Italy had that going on. Good for them. Anyway, there's a guy, not Andrea Bocelli, let him live, who in the 70s made a pop song in Italy, and it was gibberish that was meant to sound like someone speaking English. It was not any words. It was him just going, and then, and it was syllables that kind of mimicked English.
Yeah.
Nonsense words. This became like a number one radio hit in Italy. And it was a guy
you
who
know
made
I
up
have seen
gibberish.
It. I have seen this.
Yes, if you've seen that, it was
I've
on,
it, yeah.
it's floated around Instagram and TikTok and
I've
all those places.
It.
But I don't know the guy's name, but if you've not heard of this, look it up. I would try to remember to post it from our Twitter at Bone Beam United, but
I have seen it.
It's incredible that someone thought, could you imagine doing that now? Like, hey, what's up? I'm an American singer. I'm going to make a song in Mandarin or what I perceive to be Mandarin, and I'm just going to make it a thing.
And you're fired from everybody. You won't get another job in your entire life, and you're done. Yeah.
That's a one-time deal was that guy right there with Italy. That was a one-time only thing. We're never going to see
that
again.
Like, did you get algoed for that or what?
I don't know. It just popped. I mean, I get a lot of music. I always like videos where it's like, here's a singer performing or some famous musician performing at like 30 years ago. I get the Prince guitar solo from My Guitar Gently Weeps when they did that tribute.
That's a good one.
And it's fantastic. But every time that comes up, I'm like instantly like, please show me more. So, like, I guess I just get videos of songs quite often.
That was the one. I got an algorithm the other day. It was Chad Smith, the drummer
for Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. Had never heard. What's Jared Leto's band's name?
Something to Mars. Thirty seconds to Mars.
And he had never. Have you seen this?
Where he's what's the?
He had never. Yeah, he had never heard the song
Sorry
before.
Sorry about that. That was horrible.
I thought it was a great rendition.
Okay, but you what Jared is that? Leto. Whatever that song is, yes.
So he was listening. He had never heard it before, and they're like, "Can you blind play the drums as to what you think is going to come up?" And Chad Smith just like boom, knocked it out of the ballpark.
He figured out it was triples, and instantly was like, "I got this." And
it was incredible.
Played the solo exactly, like played the whole thing exactly right, pretty much. And it's yes, that was. There's a whole series of those. Go down that wormhole. I highly encourage it. They had a guy who was, gosh, what was the song he had never heard? It was some like, it was Metallica.
Okay.
And it was a drummer who does like a lot of jazz stuff. And so they played him like a Metallica song and he'd never heard it, was not familiar with it at all. But when they do this in the studio, you as a listener can hear the drums to it. The person listening to it, the drummer, cannot. They've taken the drums out.
Yeah.
So they just have to hear the music and go, what would I play to this? And then they cold listen to it a couple times, and then they record them playing it for the first time after only hearing the song a few minutes ago. And it's spectacular, like watching some of these guys come up with stuff.
I was also unaware. I went down a deep YouTube wormhole last night. By the way, Soccer Podcast Day Tuesday.
Yeah, we're a little early because of Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
The crew don't play until Saturday, so you do it on Thanksgiving or we could do it today. So it was Monday night. I was watching the Monday night football game. I had one like eyeball on it, mostly just mindlessly scrolling Instagram. And I came across, you know how NPR does like those Tiny Desk concerts?
Yes.
It wasn't that, but it was an acoustic set, and it was from Wheatus.
Oh.
It was the guy who sings Teenage Dirtbag.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was watching it, and I had always thought since like the music video Teenage Dirtbag had that lady like get super high voice that was always a woman who like did that part of the song. And it turns out that the lead singer of Wheatus, he's a guy, and he gets his voice like so high up there that he's doing the voice himself. And
wow.
Like the way that he does it, he's like, and he goes real deep. And then you can hear him, and I don't know, I'm not like the biggest audiophile in the world,
yeah.
But for someone like we kind of throw our voices sometimes and
we talk for a living.
Do impressions and impersonations and all these different things. And then he made the sound where he's like,
got
up to a high and like kept it, didn't breathe, and was able to do like the highest pitch voice I've ever heard. I'm like, I always thought that was a woman doing that. He was doing that. It was just the lead singer and how he was able to like go the full spectrum of like the vocal ranges to do that. And then I nerded out and watched like a 25-minute like Vice
Love
mini
it.
Documentary on like him and how that song never took off in the United States because the teenage dirtbag in his neighborhood was like tied to some sort of like satanic murders. But he wasn't it was such a wild situation.
Wait, was he in West Memphis, the West Memphis 3?
No.
Does he have a connection to that?
No.
Okay, I was going to say,
no,
wow.
He was in Long Island and when the guy was arrested, he grew up like right down the street from this kid.
Oh, man.
And he was 15 at the time. And this guy who was arrested for that was 17, but like knew him, went to school with him, and he was arrested in an AC/DC shirt, and he's like, I'm wearing an AC/DC shirt right now. He was sent to a whole different school, and like
song
Teenage Dirtbag was kind of
about that.
Was kind of about that, and it didn't come off here in the States because that was such a big thing, and like, you know, that kind of music is going to lead to violence. But like it took off over in like the UK and
that's
Australia.
Incredible.
And apparently in Australia, like it's still like a top 10 song that's played at bars, but it's not here. Like,
and then it made it back on like with TikTok with the Teenage Dirtbag like trend. People were doing that where they would post photos of themselves from when they were teenagers. Of course, now they're all adults. And that song became popular on social media for that.
But I just went down
I went down
like a total YouTube wormhole.
By the way, Free the Three, West Memphis Three, they all got that was a total screw job over there. That's such a if you don't know that situation, look up the West Memphis Three. We've given you a million wormholes for your Thanksgiving break. Go find one of them and dig yourself down. Enjoy. Now on to the thing we actually do here, which is occasionally talk soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Crew taking on Orlando. This one's going to be, I think, a tough one. I'm a little worried about it. You're going on the road to Orlando. The road part is what worries me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's not going to be like playing in Orlando in the summer, so you're going to have hopefully a chance at some decent weather. Although, I want to say like the forecast for the next couple days in at least like the panhandle of Florida. Our friend Matt Andrews is going down there to call some OSU men's games for the OSU, Ohio State Radio Network, all that stuff. He was saying it's like rainy and 60 there.
73, so, a high on Saturday, and a low of 58. So
a lot of rain, or is it supposed to be pretty dry? Okay, clear. If it's clear, then we're good. I think, whatever. I just don't want it to get sloppy and weird. But perfect conditions, this crew team, on natural grass, which I believe they have there.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I feel pretty good about our chances against almost anybody in the league.
I do too.
So I'm just nervous about this game in part because I know that Orlando has been a pretty tough team defensively at times. Crew unlocked that and got three goals against them the last time, so that makes me feel good.
They also gave up four.
Yeah, they're not going to do that again. Rudy is back and been playing great. Everybody's got this locked down. Everybody's figuring it out now. I feel like this team, yes, they're going to give up a goal or two possibly, but I feel like the crew can get two goals at least against this Orlando team. And I'm not saying I'm very nervous, like I said, but I am confident they can score two goals. And we really haven't seen like the Cucho dominant performance yet.
Yeah.
Really. I guess you could say that first Atlanta game was pretty good, strong. But
I'm not as confident as I was for the last game against Atlanta as I am in this one. But I am more confident that they can go on the road and get this win than I was for the second game in Atlanta.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. It's weird. It's turf down there. They're really good on turf, Atlanta.
Yeah.
But I feel like for whatever reason, this is so weird. Like we've kind of flip-flopped here over the last like 6 weeks to a month that I'm as confident in this team as I've ever been.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, honestly, Atlanta in that series, I didn't think they score a lot of goals, but everyone just glosses over their defensive performance. I think the crew have clearly had their issues on defense this year. We know them. But I feel like they are playing a lot better defensively. And I do feel like Schulte is such an equalizer there at goalkeeper. He is so good.
He's been playing great.
Yeah. And I think, like, I don't want to jinx any of that or anything. I just feel like this is a team that can go down to Orlando and score some goals. And if you can score goals for me with this crew team, I feel like we've got a really good shot to win. I don't think it's the type of team that's going to – I don't think they're losing 4-3. In this type of situation, right? If they score three goals, they win this game. They score two goals, I feel really good about them winning this game. If it's 1-1 and it goes to extra, that's what I'm not a big. I could see something like that.
So we're back to extras now.
It's back to as far as I understand, it's back to everything being normal. This is like normal. This is like we're playing real soccer again.
Regular cup ties.
Yes. Okay. So it's just a one-off, winner take all. Yep. So that's where they're going to have, I think, the extra 30 minutes if need be, and then penalties after that. So
you got to stave off the 15s. I mean, that's opening 15 and the closing 15.
Yeah,
That's where I think if you can get your work done in that middle 30 minutes, like 15 and 30 and then 60 and 75, I think that's probably the most likely because that's what the home field adds, right? I mean, just more intense pressure consistently in front of your fans and doing that for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
If you can stave off, like I said, the opening 15 and the closing 15 of each half, this team is more than capable of scoring multiple goals in that time, in a solo 15-minute time frame. Like, I think that's what would be best suit for Wilfried Nancy and this team to do. Or you just throw caution to the wind and say, you know what? If you guys want to open up fast, well, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, and I think it warrants mentioning because we just haven't talked about it a ton because we've just kind of been in the moment so much on this podcast. But to step back and take a bigger picture here, like the fact that this team is one of the best teams in MLS this year is really, I mean, what a turnaround it's been for Wilfried Nancy.
The roster was there. I mean, the people were there. The players were here.
Yeah, it shows you, though, the difference was the coach.
Yeah.
Like the manager came in and made a huge difference for this team, and that is a testament to how good he is. So I am encouraged by that. I'm encouraged that this guy, like you ask him a question and he wants to basically quote you poetry instead of give you like a soccer jargony answer. All he talks about is playing open, playing free. You know, I want these players to be creative. I want them to have that license. They obviously have tactics and things they have to pay attention to. They're not just going out there and he's not saying, think of Walt Whitman as you run out. You know, like
what would Emerson think?
Yeah, right. I mean, he gives you some actual, tactical understanding. I'm sure he does that, but I love the philosophy that he has brought to this team, which is we're not going to be afraid to concede a goal. We are going to go get some goals, though. We are going to play beautiful soccer. We are not going to compromise how we play. That does lead to the biggest thing I think that worries me about anything with this Crew team. Anytime there's a one-off game, and that is one big mistake can cost you in a game like this, right? So that style of play does allow you to have more freedom and more open play and be able to score more and be able to create dangerous chances. It allows players to be more involved in the game. It does allow for you to get too caught up in that and then get countered quickly, have something where you're just not in the right position and you get burned. So if it becomes a 0-0 type of game and Orlando is thwarting everything and you're just having one of those nights where you can't score, you're putting a million chances on the ball, but none of them are really good. That's the game that would worry me. If we get down there 35 minutes into this game and the Crew have taken like 10 shots and they've got none of them even really to test the keeper.
That's why Philly scares me.
Yeah, man, I know. That's exactly the type of game they play as well. They can withstand stuff like that. So this is where it gets tough. I just want to take this moment to say that I do believe this Crew team, it's been a massive success this year. Yep. Season has been good and successful. And yes, we should have been on this track the last couple years. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. But they're back where they need to be now, which is fighting for a playoff spot, or not fighting for a playoff spot, winning a playoff series and being in a position to go to the conference finals. You are a game away from the conference finals. That's where this team, I believe, was at that level last year. They should have been, and they just never could get there with their coaching. So now they've done that. Now it's time to exceed expectations.
And I think the trajectory is aiming up. This is year one of the Wilfried Nazi experience.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the trajectory is just going up. And I think our expectations, if we were being honest with this team, would be that you got into the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where we were at the last couple of years. Like, get in. You wanted to make sure that that was a baseline expectation for this season. They've done that. They won a playoff series. Now go have fun. Like, show the rest of the league and, you know, Orlando fans and, you know, whoever else is watching that this is what you are capable of and that the best defense is offense.
Yeah, right.
That's their MO.
Here's the thing. I think that the philosophy that I have really enjoyed when it comes to thinking about just any sport, but especially soccer, it holds true. Your goal is not to score necessarily. Your goal is to control the game.
Yeah.
If you control the game, you will naturally score. If you control the game, and I don't mean by possession, I mean if you're not letting the other team have the ball, yes, that's possession, then you're going to have more control of how the game goes. If you are putting shots on frame and testing their defense, you are going to control how the game goes. If whenever they get the ball, you snuff those chances out, turn them over, get the ball back, you're controlling the game. You're going to have better chances to win. That is where I feel like Wilfried Nancy, if you asked him, is your goal to score goals in a soccer game? He would say, my goal is to win.
Yeah.
And my goal is to control the game. And that's what I feel like the Crew do very well, better than anyone in the league. So I'm hopeful that that's what we see against Orlando, is that control that they've been kind of famous for.
Watch Manchester City. Just watch them. I feel like 9.75 out of every 10 games, they control the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why they're so, like, yeah, they got world-class players. That's why they win.
Yeah. You can have there's lots of teams that have
sometimes
really
not
good players
in possession. Just what they're doing defensively. You want to kick the ball around back here? Go ahead.
A perfect example of controlling the game from that third Atlanta game was, remember, like 70th, 75th minute, Atlanta was trying to get frisky and score again. And they had a time where Almeida came down the field and he's like in the left channel in the middle and he's getting ready to try to do something. And he kind of started going up, and I forget if it was Darlington who stepped to him first.
I think it was. Aiden,
but whoever it was kind of stepped up, and then he had to, like, basically run around the midfield back to the circle, and then eventually just gave the ball up, and it was just that empty bucket thing for a minute or two, and then the Crew got the ball back, and kind of it was just then Atlanta, that was, like, the end of them being good. That's taking control of the game. They didn't have the ball, but they said, no, we're not going to let you win this game up through the middle here with your best player. You're going to have to find some other way to beat us. And they couldn't. That's controlling the game.
Yeah.
That's dictating your will. So hopefully, again, that's what we see against Orlando. Obviously, for that one, if you are looking for it on the Fan, if you're for some reason not watching it, obviously there's a little football game going on Saturday as well.
Stupid idiots right at that time of day will be doing a post-game show.
Yeah, so on 97.1 The Fan FM in Columbus and our HD1, that will be game coverage for the game. On the AM 1460 ESPN, I believe at some point, either at 4 p.m. or 7 p.m., depending on results from the previous day, the men's basketball team will be playing a game. So that will be on the AM. So The crew will have to be on what's called HD3. You can find that on the app, on the fan app. Just download it. Look for the streams. There's HD3. You can pick that as what you're listening to. Same thing will apply. That will also be on the website. And if you have a car radio that has HD radio, just look for HD3. Those are the ways you can listen. The app's probably your best option, is what I would say. So now you know. If you want to go see Lionel Messi play against the crew, potentially, you're going to have to pay hundreds of dollars more than what you should. So this, we'll talk about this very briefly. We don't have to get into it much, but the crew season ticket members got an email saying, hey, Black Friday sale. If you'd like to buy tickets to the game against Inter Miami, we have extra tickets that you can buy extra tickets for the Inter Miami thing. You already get yours, obviously, if you're a crew fan. You get your season tickets. You can go to that game at the price that you pay for your season tickets. If you want additional tickets for that game, they're giving them an opportunity to buy them first. Very nice. Good thing if you're a season ticket member to be able to buy other games. That game, by the way, I want to point out, I don't believe the schedule's even out yet.
No, it's not.
It's just knowing that they will play Inter Miami at some point this year.
Could be during international break.
Could be international break. Could be playing them in September. Could be playing them who knows when. He could be injured. You have no idea when this game even is. But they are saying for this game, I saw people posting seats that are normally like $40-$50. Those seats are selling single price for upwards of $400.
By the way,
8 to 10 times markup on the
seat. This is face value.
Yeah, this is not. Yeah, this is the crew selling them. This is through their official channel.
Yeah.
This game will sell out, and those tickets will go for more than that, I'm quite sure. People will resell them for more than that, especially week of if they think he's going to play. Here's the thing I will touch on. I'm sure you have your thoughts, too. I just feel like I've been yelled at by people online, like, what do you expect? They're a business. They're going to make money. Yeah, I know they are. I also feel like it's really dumb to run your professional sports organization like a business. It's a gamble. It's a bet. You're trying to win. It's a thing you're doing to provide entertainment to a community. And so that community you want to build and grow. But even if you do look at it as a business, what better way? What do they do all the time in retail world? You go to Walmart, you go to Costco. They have things that are less than what they actually cost for that company to sell. They lose money. Costco, the chickens, famously their rotisserie chickens.
The glizzies.
They $4.99. The hot dogs they sell for like what, 99 cents, or $1.50 or something.
And the owner of Costco said, "I will blank and kill you if you change the price."
Don't
of
ever
those
change
hot dogs.
Price, even though it does cost them more than that to pay the workers and all that. They do it because they know if you come in there, you're gonna feel good if you get a hot dog for $1.50. You're gonna feel good if you get a rotisserie chicken for $4.99, mm-hmm. and then you'll go buy something else there that costs way more than it should. And
then go buy a $7,000 TV.
Right. I feel like that's what the sports team ownership forgets, is your sports ticket is the loss leader. Your sports ticket is the thing that gets people in the door. They enjoy the product. Then they go to the team store and they get gouged.
Then they buy Apple TV.
They buy Apple TV.
My son wants to go to games for 30 more years.
Yeah, right. Is that not worth it to get people in the door? So what I feel like you're going to get is a lot of people who will buy these tickets because it's the cool thing to do.
Of course.
And there are people who probably will only care about this soccer game, and that's it. They will never go to another soccer game. I do not think the majority of people who go to see Lionel Messi play, they're going to pay all that money. They're either already diehard soccer fans who've mm-hmm. just chosen not to go watch crew games for whatever reason, and you're not going to get those people. Or they're going to be people who don't care about soccer at all. They just care about spectacle, and you're not going to get those people. So that's my take.
Neighbor Eric sent me a picture, and these seats look to be opposite corner of where the Nordeck is. So I guess that would be the southeast corner. By the corner flag, and these tickets were $605 a piece. So good. The Nordeck was $421, I think, face value of the crew. I mean, these.
By
again,
the way, a
like
Nordeca
nice,
season ticket in the Nordeca
like
is
$500.
It's like $400 or $500. I'm saying these tickets are going for at or more than
what the entire season.
The
is
entire
for.
Season for one game. And again, if you're a season ticket holder, you get that game. You get to go to this game. If you want extra tickets, that's what they're selling. This is what the general public's going to be paying for these tickets. The people who are not season ticket holders. It's just
$605 a pop. That's $1,210 before fees and taxes added on.
Beam, how does that make you feel though? Like as a fan, I know, I mean, I've obviously made my thoughts clear on the Messi cash grab that MLS is doing. I'm not a fan of it. I am a fan of Messi. He's amazing. But
will you go? Would you go?
Not for that. Yeah. If I could get tickets for a few hundred dollars a piece, like If they were $250 a piece, I could get them on the secondary market. I might look at trying to get the kids to see a once in a lifetime thing. Obviously, the market for Messi is higher than that. So,
he's
yeah,
like a once in three lifetimes thing.
I mean, the reality is any other stadium you're going to see Messi in,
it's gonna
in the U.S.
Same, it's going to be the same thing.
Well, what I was going to say is, like, we'll talk about Copa America in a second. Copa America, if you go see him and he's playing for Argentina, which presumably he will be.
I would much rather watch him do that.
Me too. But if he does that, you're going to be seeing him. The argument for this price gouging cash grab thing is that you will see Messi in another stadium where there's 80, 90, 100,000 people. This is the only one you're going to see him in under 20,000 people or one of the few. Those are MLS games. That's largely where they're going to you're going to be able to see that is in MLS stadiums. And only a few of those are the size of the Cruz Stadium.
Yeah.
So that's the argument for this cost. I get it. Doesn't make me like it. It doesn't make me think it's a good business decision.
Tweet us at Bone Beam United. Will you go? We won't shame. There's no shaming. If you said
I'd pay $600
to go see Messi. Listen, man, if I had disposable income and it was just me and I didn't have to worry about Meredith or like William or anything like that, and I had $600 to blow on a ticket, I'm there.
I want to be 100% clear on that. I know there are people who say I have savings that I will dip into to go to this thing. And I respect that because I understand the draw of seeing him. That is not it. What I'm saying is the Crew have an opportunity to not gouge their fans, and they are saying, screw it, we don't care. We will gouge. And the argument for that is, well, if we don't do it, the secondary market will. Fine. Let the secondary market be the secondary market. I can almost guarantee you that if you let your season ticket holders buy those tickets at the regular prices, or maybe let's say $100, maybe you double the price of your season ticket,
$100 that's a lot easier.
You would sell out before the even hits the general public of season ticket holders who would then probably, some of them would resell them because they have to, they need the money, whatever. Some of them would actually just say, I want to bring in my dad, my mom, my sister, my brother, people I know, my kids, whatever.
My best friend.
You would bring people who would actually get to go with an advocate for you. That is like a season ticket holder is the best advertisement you have.
Yeah.
That person would then do all the advertising you need, and you probably would sell more season tickets the next year because you'd have more people say, I want to come back and do this. Instead, what you're going to get is now a bunch of people who go, oh, yeah, what's the big thing this week? Taylor Swift? I'm going to that. What's the big thing next week? Oh, Lionel Messi? I'm going to that. I don't think they're necessarily going to become diehard soccer fans based off of this. They're the people who went to Las Vegas to watch the F1 race.
Yeah.
Sure, it's a lot of fun. I'm also guaranteeing those people are not going to be traveling to Spa anytime soon to watch an F1 race there.
And I'd much rather watch a race at Spa than I would.
I'd rather watch a race at a racetrack, yes. But anyway, whatever. So I'm not holding it against anyone who pays the money to do this. I just don't think you should have to. I think MLS and the crew should not do that.
I think it's a big loss by the crew.
Yeah,
to do that.
It's bad. It's them putting profits over the people who
what else is
make
new?
This team. What and that's just what unfortunately sucks. But that is welcome to soccer for what it's worth. All right, we'll take a break. Speaking of profits, discussions on FIFA, Copa America, all that and more coming up next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
It defies description. Now back to Bone and Beam United.
You can always tweet the show at Bone Beam United. Also, I will say a happy Thanksgiving to everyone. If we didn't say that earlier, we've kind of been negative on the show, or at least I have been. I'm always kind of negative. So I am actually thankful for things. It's just what I want to get out there. I'm not necessarily going to, we don't have to share those now. I'm just telling you, I am thankful for things. I do enjoy. I'm thankful for Beamer doing this every week with me.
I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful to be the only two people at this radio station that want to do soccer content.
No kidding. Well, you know what?
There are others who are willing.
Colin would do it if he didn't have a million things to do.
Yeah.
Colin Berenger, and he also has a podcast, Mad About Hoops, college basketball stuff. You should go check that out.
Also, soccer podcast time is right in Colin's like prep time for his normal radio
show. So we can't take him away from that. I'm trying to think who else would do like
Ted.
Panama Ted loves soccer. He will watch a lot of soccer. Panama Ted, though, I will say he watches everything.
Yeah.
Our producer for Common Man and T-Bone, he watches, if you're like, oh, man, did you watch was there an NBA game? He's watching.
Oh, yeah, man.
He's watching NHL games, NBA games. He's watching golf. He's watching.
He watches more than I do.
Oh, yeah. He probably consumes as much sports as anyone here, I would say.
I think of anybody in the greater, like, Columbus metro area.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy who they don't have kids. He's happily married.
He's a dink.
They're dinks. Yeah, they have small dogs.
Yep.
So no kids. Dual income, no kids, and small dogs.
Dildos.
That's right.
Dual income little dog owners.
Gosh, that's right. Ted is a dildo. I forgot. How did I forget that? No, but so he just, he has a lot of time and he enjoys watching sports and he watches a ton of it.
I come in here on Saturday and we have two TVs that are in each talk studio.
Yes.
Ted will have the Ohio State game on one. He will have the other TV on some other college football game. And then in a situation, if which the Jackets are playing or the Crew are playing, he has his iPad in which he is watching a game on his iPad. And in break glass only emergency situations, he has his laptop up as well.
Yeah.
So there are like 19 screens going at once.
This is the life of being a – you want to know what it takes to get into sports radio? That's what the producers are all like to some degree or another. They are consuming sports all the time, and then they're texting the host going, did you see this? And we're like, no. And then they're like, well, we should talk about this tomorrow. You should go look at it. And that's how it works. That's a little behind the scenes of how this business works. Producers do that. If you ever wonder what does a producer do on like – college game day when you see that like that guy Bear that was always on the set. Now I know he's moved over to Fox now? Is that what he does?
I don't watch any of those pregame shows. But
the point is that's what those guys do. They live and breathe this stuff. So then the hosts can go, all right, let me find the best stuff and deliver it and have a fun take on it or whatever. But yeah, Ted is that guy for sure. So
neighbor Eric has a question of the
week. Yes.
Neighbor Eric's question of the week. What's your all time favorite Columbus Crew jersey?
Oh.
He said his is the 2017 yellow kit, circle with a crest, Acura sponsor, checkerboard down the side. It's a really good
one. That is a good one. I do like that. I can't believe the first one that came to mind is not a yellow one at all. Although I love the yellow. I love the yellow kits. It is from, I want to say, 98. There was an era where they wore white, where it was an all-white kit.
99 with the yellow stripes.
The three stripes right down the middle and the Crew badge right in the center stripe. I thought that's one of the classiest looks they've ever had. If they ever bring a retro of that back, I will break my vow of never buying anything with the new Crew logo.
Yeah.
I will buy it if they do a retro of that. If they third jersey that or something or whatever, I'm all in on that look. That is my alt. I have actually two of those I've bought off eBay. Neither of them fit. It is my goal at some point to get to a size where I could happily wear them and not gross people out. And it wouldn't just look like my fat rolls are everywhere. But because those are the only ones I could find that were like, I mean, they're hard to find. They're almost 25 years old now.
Right.
And not everyone kept them around or kept them in good condition. So yes, I have a couple of those. That's probably my favorite of all time. Trying to think of which yellow one. I mean, I'm really partial to the ones they win championships in. So the ones they wore in 08 with the Glidden sponsorship on it.
The Glidden sponsors are pretty good.
I like
the away kit from 2013, like the white ones.
Oh,
with the,
that's...
That kind of had the checkerboard on...
The one that... I always thought that kind of looked like a yellow and black bar scarf across the top.
Yeah.
Like on the shoulders. And then it's white. Yes. That's a nice look with the Barbasol on it. I like that one a lot. I agree with you. I associate that one for some reason with Rich Balchan, of all people.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know if he played in those ones, but I don't know why. But in my head, that's who wore that jersey. He's a former Crew player who played, I want to say, like, sparing minutes.
I also think anything with the hard hat and then the circle logo is just fine.
I think that's what Rich Balchan is. Either that or he's an adult film actor. I'm not sure. We're going to find out. Hey, good news. He played soccer for the Crew. That's what I thought.
That's good.
Okay, that's good.
What did you think of the city flag uniforms, like 2017?
Not a fan.
Okay.
As Morgan Hughes so eloquently put it, looked like someone had urinated and stained, and I'm not as big of a fan of that.
I did like the Barbasol. The Barbasol, it hits different.
Well,
Barbasol,
yes.
And Glidden, like that's kind of what I associate like retro Crew uniforms with.
You know, I don't know if I've ever asked you this because it just drew this thought to my head. Long sleeve or short sleeve? I am a huge fan of the long sleeve look, man. I think it's so, I don't know if it's just because of the eras of soccer we've watched, but I have so many memories of guys wearing
baggy long sleeves.
Yes,
not the
right.
tight anymore, but like the
Umbro.
Like the, yeah, like the Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Like he's got the jersey tucked in, but everything is so baggy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beckham used to wear those.
Oh, for sure.
Long sleeves. Yeah, I mean that's just classic.
Manchester United with the big sharp logo.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely. The long sleeve look is always killer to me.
Zidane always wore the long sleeves,
but now no one does it
because it's stupid.
Well, you know why? Because now we have Under Armour. Or whatever brand is official, Adidas or Nike, whatever your league
Marcus
mandates.
Marcus Rashford still wears long sleeves.
Does he? Okay. I'm saying
there might
I don't,
be a few guys, but I think that they're special order.
Do they?
You used to be able
saying,
to go on the website,
yeah,
and it used to be like a $15 charge for short or long, and that's disappeared. You can only get them in shorts now.
I know, and I like, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm sure that option's available for players if they want to wear long sleeves.
Of course, yeah. But I'm just saying, I feel like a lot of guys now, at least in MLS, I don't feel like we see the long sleeves, other than obviously goalies. But shout out to the short sleeve goalie kit guys, too. Nice.
Nice.
Shout out to the goalies with hats.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Love a hat. Goalies
with pants, hats, and short sleeves. You're a dad. You may not have kids, but you're a dad. You've instantly
BDE,
made yourself a dad.
Big dad energy.
Big dad energy, 100%. That is a dad outfit right there.
And sunglasses. Why not throw them on there? Rex specs.
Was that last thing? Again, we've just derailed. I know we got to get to the stuff we promised. But
Who cares?
Who is the goalie that did the scorpion kicks?
Oh, it was...
was that for Colombia
yeah.
that he played for with the big... And he had like a jerry curl?
Yeah.
But he wore pants is what made me...
And a rainbow top.
Yes, man. And I know he's a legend, and I'm sorry I'm blanking on his name, but he was like an all-time great, one of the most well-known goalies ever in the world of soccer. But yeah, those kicks were
Rene
just incredible.
Higuita.
Yes, yes, that's right. That's right. Yes. I want to say maybe played in the U.S. for a hot minute somewhere. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Let's see. Let's go on Rene's Wikipedia page here.
How's he doing? Well, how old is he? Alive?
Rene's 57.
57, let him live.
He's living in Medellin.
Okay.
So that's good. I don't think he ever played.
Maybe he had, I think he had a game maybe in the Rose Bowl. 94 World Cup, I'm guessing. Maybe that's what I'm associating
with. Yeah, you're right.
Yep. That's what it was. Okay. Of course. Yeah. Playing for Colombia. They famously had some games that were impactful in that World Cup.
Maybe the most famous save of all time.
Yeah, the one where he did the scorpion.
The ball's coming
over his head.
Coming in, and he
hits
just,
it with his back of his heels as he's in Superman
did his
position.
Own player play that him that ball is like. Is that
so.
Why he needed to do that?
I think he just did it. I don't think that's the first time he's ever done that. I think he was kind of famous for doing that from time to time. But yeah,
like our guy Rene.
Yeah. Rene Higuita. There you go. All right. So let's talk about, we'll stay in South America. Copa America is coming to the U.S. Not
excited.
The first time. I will say I have mixed feelings about this because I'm not a huge fan of, there's been that thing about let's have Premier League games in the U.S. I feel like that's not really fair.
But our teams are at least playing in this.
Yes, yes, yes. That's true.
It's
that's
different
the
than just having like Premier League games over here.
But in 2016, Copa America was here.
For the Centenario.
Yes, they did that for the 100th anniversary.
It's been 7 years since that?
I know.
My God.
Crazy, right? So they're doing one again. And this time, we only know the host and final, the initial venue and the final venue. Atlanta is hosting, I want to say, the opener. And Miami is hosting the final.
Makes sense.
Hard Rock.
Yeah.
That where the Dolphins play, that's where they're going to do the
final.
That
region, it makes sense. Atlanta. I mean, far away from Miami, but closer
no,
than
No, no,
like,
Miami is like the, if you're going to come to the U.S. from anywhere in South America, that's nine, I mean, many people are flying from either there, you're flying to there or New York, 9 times out of 10, or I guess Los Angeles. Like, those are probably the three main hubs people fly to from South America. So, it makes sense. Miami is obviously a if you want to get a connecting flight down to South America, chances are you got to fly out of Miami or you're going to have to hit that at some point.
So I didn't realize because I was reading on, just about all this when the stadiums were announced that Copa, the way that they do it, like, because in CONMEBOL, there's only 10 nations, right? I mean, it's
right. It's not a huge.
I mean, it's a big continent, but it's they're big countries.
CONCACAF probably has, what do we have, like, probably 15 or 16?
More,
more than that?
More than that.
Because we
have
tiny little countries all sprinkled
around.
Yeah,
like, those are all they're all gigantic countries.
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize for each Copa, they just went round robin and, like,
everybody's in.
Everybody's in. Everybody gets to host. And the reason why the U.S. is hosting is because Ecuador was supposed to host it in the rotation order, but apparently they had, like, security concerns. And so with the announcement and partnership with, like, CONMEBOL and then CONCACAF, they said, all right, well, if you're getting ready to host the World Cup, let's do this as, like, kind of a test run, which, again, makes sense. And the fact that we get to see our teams go up against CONMEBOL, like, yeah, I'm in.
Love
I'm
it. It's a fantastic thing. So, I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun. I do want to go to one of these games, and I will, once they announce the other venues, I'm not going to try to get tickets for the opener.
No.
I would say that's going to be insane. I would say, obviously, the final's going to be insane.
Brazil. We got to go see Brazil.
Dude, I am
Vinny and Endrick.
I will tell you, all right, this is a good topic that I didn't
because
think of until just now.
Because this is closer than the World Cup.
Yeah, 100%.
This is next summer.
Yes. I mean, listen.
And we can get work to pay for it.
And I don't have anything on the – I mean, we will because the U.S. will be playing, but I'm not going to be, like, sweating it.
I don't want to go to a U.S. game.
No. No, that's fine. That's all good. You can have that game. I want to go to one where we're I want to involve myself. I want to wedge myself into other people's culture and just let them immerse me in their culture.
Culture wedger.
Please let me enjoy some of your culture. I will come and I will be on the fringe. I don't want to impede anything. Yeah. I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to use my privilege. None of that. I just want to experience and embrace what's happening. So yes. And it doesn't have to, you know what? Argentina is obviously one we'd sure like to go see them. That'd be awesome. I have a soft spot in my heart for Argentina. Boca Juniors, my guy Guillermo, a legend. If we go to an Argentina game, I'm wearing my Guillermo Barros Schelotto. I will buy a Guillermo Barros Schelotto jersey.
You think he can get us tickets?
Him?
Yeah.
He can get us tickets. Why would he? It's the better question. He's not going to take a call from us.
We'll call under Guillermo Barros Schelotto
now
for Jonathan Smith and Brandon Beam.
Now,
I
could call an Argentine soccer player that I know named Gino Padula, and we could work with him maybe to see if, like, hey, Gino, show us the, like, if he's going, I'm sure he would be happy to, like, take us to some things and show us around. Yes, but I don't want to necessarily horn in on his good time either, but yeah.
I'm horning. Let's horn.
By the way.
Let's horn away.
If you have a kid who wants to learn how to play soccer, the Padula Academy here, it's in Westerville. They do a great job. You should go look Gino Padula up. He is a great coach, pro soccer player, played in England, played all over the place. If you listen to this soccer podcast, you don't know Gino Padula, you should find out about him. He gets a free plug there for his soccer academy. It's great.
As long as he gets his tickets. If not, we're going to edit it out. That's right. You don't want to horn in. I'm horning away.
Argentina.
I'm coming in.
I'd go there. I would love to go to Argentina, but I'm saying I would go watch an Argentina game clearly, but you know, the Messi effect is going to be real. Brazil. I'm going to see Vinny in person.
Mm-hmm.
Going to see all those dudes. I mean, technically, right? We should have everybody back to health that's currently injured for their sister's birthday party. Three months ahead of her birthday.
Yeah.
I would think that's all. I don't know if he's getting called in.
Vinny's hurt too, but.
Well, yeah, I'm saying Vinny's hurt. We'll get to that in a second. But yeah, there's.
Neymar's hurt.
Yeah, everybody. But Neymar's injury, it's out for the season, but he would be back for that. I'm guessing he wants to be back for that.
I would assume.
And that's probably why he's out for the season.
Uruguay, man. You want to see Darwin Nunez miss a sitter like 6 yards away from the goal? Like, that would be pretty cool.
So I'd see those three countries.
Colombia,
100%. I'm in on anything Colombia. And our guy, Nate Beckman, is married to someone from Colombia,
right.
And I'm quite sure. And he lives in Florida. If anybody's going to see a Colombia game, I'm guessing it's Nate Beckman. Yeah. That might be where we need to go, is hook up with Nate and go watch some Colombia soccer.
You think they're going to put any games, like, close vicinity to us?
My guess is the spots that would be possibilities. I'm guessing Chicago gets a sniff.
Yeah.
I'm guessing somewhere like, well, they're probably not doing Nashville because of Atlanta. Atlanta's already got that. But I'm sure somewhere like Philly, D.C. is getting one. Somewhere in the Philly, D.C.,
like
maybe
Cincinnati,
New Jersey,
Cleveland,
area.
Detroit have a chance. Not if they're doing
maybe,
Chicago, probably.
Probably not. I don't know that they would do Detroit. I could see, I'm trying to think of either Cleveland or Cincinnati. I don't know, man. Like,
Cincinnati tried to host the World Cup games.
Yeah, I mean, I know Cincinnati. They would probably look at that before they would Cleveland, just because of the soccer connection with FC Cincinnati, and everybody, you know, is very happy about that. I just don't know. I'm saying, but that's a good one. Yeah, I'm guessing we get one within a 6-hour drive.
All right.
And if that's the case, Midwestern boy is driving. I'm not flying.
Oh, yeah. We're driving.
And we will podcast the entire way.
Yeah.
6 hours of podcast all the way there and all the way back. All right. So we got to find out when these other games are.
December 7th is the draw.
Okay, yeah, so we'll know that hopefully in the next couple of weeks, and we'll let you know where all the games are. I think that's when they would announce the venues.
I would hope. I would hope so. The tournament's in June.
Yeah, so it's CONMEBOL and CONCACAF jointly, right?
Six teams from CONCACAF, 10 from CONMEBOL.
That's right. And are they using the Nations Cup thing to determine? Okay, good. Fun. There we go. Thank you, FIFA.
Any of it. They won. They lost last night to Trinidad and Tobago, but they're still into the next round. I don't know. I know that Honduras is leading against Mexico right now.
Two things Greg Berhalter knows how to do.
Mm-hmm.
Take a long-ass time to get the same job he already had and lose to Trinidad and Tobago. Wait, that's not fair. He didn't lose that. That wasn't him.
Yeah, that's true. But he did lose last night.
That's right. They did lose. All right. Let's talk about the injuries. You brought this up earlier. Some bad news for FIFA teams. The FIFA virus, as they call it, when players go out for international break and then get injured. The latest seeming to be affected by this are two piddling teams from the Iberian Peninsula, Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Yeah, tough.
They have lost, as you mentioned, Brazil forward Vinicius Jr. He is lost due to injury, and also Eduardo Camavinga. Kind of big deals for both those guys.
Yeah, so Camavinga just plays in literally every single role for Real Madrid. Like, oh, Vinny's going to be out, I can play over there. Oh, our left back's going to be out, oh, I can play over there. I'm a midfielder, but I can play up top, too. Like, he's just a plug-and-play.
He's incredible.
Kind of a guy. He really is. He's astonishing. And then Vinny obviously being out, like, that stinks. And then Barcelona getting some bad news because Gavi, I think, had an ACL injury, and he's going to be out
they said
to
he is,
6 months.
They said he's out for the season. Yeah, they said he was on crutches after the game, limped off the field. I mean, I saw that their manager was taking some flack for this, the manager for Spain, but I actually don't blame him. His quotes were essentially like, this can happen anytime, anywhere. Yeah. Now, they were playing against Georgia, which, hey, man, those SEC teams are rough. You gotta bring it. I know. It's a tough game.
Absolutely. He's a good player for Georgia. I think that's his name.
Yeah. Oh, is it really?
Like a highly rated player. He plays for Napoli.
Yeah. All right. That's fair.
Kershkovelli.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm butchering that.
I don't know if okay. That's fine. All I know is Spain didn't necessarily need that game. They were probably going to win it anyway without without Gavi necessarily, and they did, but he didn't play for more than 26 minutes. But I don't blame manager for saying, I have this guy available. We want to play him. We want to make sure we get the team together to play in these big tournaments. That's fine. I get it. They've got the Euros coming up this year. So that's going to put a lot of timelines in jeopardy, for at least for that with Spain. That's an issue, right? So yeah,
I didn't realize too that FIFA had to pay money to them. So it's upwards of like some $25,000 a day. I think that FIFA has to pay if someone is injured on international duty. And I guess the Gavi injury is going to cost them up to like $3 million. FIFA's going to have to pay directly to Barcelona for that injury.
I did not realize there was that.
I didn't either.
Level.
That's why I was reading over it. And I'm like, if they miss time, then the club is then compensated for the time missed.
Oh, man. You know what?
And FIFA, I guess, has set aside like $150 million between now and 2026, the lead up to the World Cup for all this.
You know what I just realized?
What?
I bet you FIFA doesn't pay that money totally out of their own coffers. They do have some of that money set aside. I'm guessing they have some wild insurance things going on.
They're making money off of that.
I'm guessing FIFA's got some kind of insurance scheme. And I don't mean scheme in the sense of like illegal. I'm not saying that.
It wouldn't blow my mind away.
But I mean, like, you know, people talk about a scheme where it's like, we've come up with a plan to do this, 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 and this, but it doesn't mean bad. It just means this is the way we're doing it. The insurance world, weird. I have heard of churches that have done that, schools that have like big donors, churches and schools, you know, nonprofits, where they take out huge insurance policies against like people in their donor pool that when they kick it, if they kick it before like a certain age, Oklahoma State famously did this.
Yeah.
With their athletic department. Boone Pickens, when he was alive, was overseeing this, which is the guy who they donated millions of dollars to them. They had insurance policies on all these like 80 plus year old donors that gave millions to the school that they would die before the age of like 90. And a bunch of them outlived it. They lost the money on the insurance and they made nothing off of it. And these old farts just kept on living. If you found out someone took out an insurance policy on you to die and it was because you donated money, wouldn't you at some point be like, you know what, I'm done donating?
I would say well played, because the way that I'm living life, you're probably going to cash in on that check.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of cashing in, Saudi Pro League no longer going to be spending quite as significantly on some of these players, Beamer.
Yeah,
it sounds
so
like.
I guess since we're putting our tinfoil hats on, let's just stay in that realm, because I saw this come down last week, and I don't know who was making the comments about like, oh, we're not going to, Saudi Pro League's not going to as aggressively spend as we did in the past. And I mean, we all know the story. We don't need to rehash it. They're spending boatloads of money to get players over there to Saudi Arabia. Whatever. They were just announced award of the FIFA World Cup for 2030-something. I don't know if it's 2032 or I don't know if it's 2034.
Well, let's see. We've got 2026 is
So then 2030, 2034. It
that would must be the
2034
next
World Cup that's going to go down there.
So 11 years from now.
But the way that I'm reading into this is like, oh, you guys aren't going to spend money on players anymore. That's cool, because you were just awarded a FIFA World Cup. So I wonder how much money that has cost you. Like, we're going to set that money aside for player transfers, and now that's going to go to Yanni and the whole brass over there in FIFA. But yeah, so there you go.
You're probably right. There is probably something to that. Also, the amount of money they spent last summer, $972 million in transfer fees for the Saudi Pro League.
Like half of Chelsea.
That's a good line.
Thank you.
I like it. That was very good. $972 million. I think it was like 784 million pounds, British pounds. The monetary fund that they draw that from is worth $600 billion.
Yeah, the PIF.
So that's not even 1% of what... Now, it's like a third of a... Or a sixth of a percent. I think that's how math works. I mean, again, when you're talking about that amount of money, it's significant. In the grand scheme of what they have on reserve, they could buy an entire FIFA. They could make their own FIFA and still not even put a dent in that.
They are trying to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, they may already have their own FIFA. They may not. I'm just saying.
I do think they probably bought the right. Well, they've proven that you can buy the rights to FIFA and then just host the World Cup.
Obviously, they got the World Cup. Yeah. But they have infrastructure and everything. I mean, they have 11 years to get all this. It's already built to a degree, but now they're going to make it even bigger than
Qatar had 11 years to make stadiums with air-conditioned seats and put clouds in the sky.
How'd that happen? How'd that work out?
We did it in the winter.
We had a Winter World Cup. Well, can't wait to do this again in Winter World Cup of 2034.
Hey, by the way, my guy, Kvichka Kvaratskhelia from Georgia, scored a goal against Spain.
He scored their goal. That's great. See, look at that. What a fantastic thing.
And Georgie's Mikatadze playing for Ajax.
Oh, man.
15 million pounds.
That value cannot be wrong.
Kvaratskhelia, market value, $92 million. Guy's a beast.
Yeah, apparently.
Let's buy the jerseys.
You know what? I'm still working on my Real Madrid Vinny jersey I got to get.
Well,
I got to figure it
let's
out.
Let's make that. Get the Modric jersey for Brazil.
Oh, yeah. Madrid. Oh, yeah. Get a Madrid Modric.
And then get the Brazil Vinny.
Yeah, I think that's the way to
go.
And
that way, when we go to Copa next year, you'll be prepared.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I mean, hey, man, Copa next year, our guy, Cucho, could be playing.
Of course.
That could be the thing to watch.
We just had international duty.
He just got caught up for that. So.
That'd be great.
Could you imagine? Why are we whispering? I'm whispering now. Let's go, Cucho. Yeah. All right. That's it for us. Shout out to Nate Beckman, our guy. We'll see you guys next time. Have a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy the holidays with your friends and family. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.